The Selfish Path to Romance. Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and at amazon.com.
Right now we're going to go to the phones and speak with Mike. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Tell me what's on your mind.
One of my coworkers has been giving me a lot of grief at work, and all he does is whine. He's very paranoid. He's accusing me of influencing other people to give him a hard time.
Okay.
He gives people a hard time, and then he turns around, and that's not a problem. But when people, not give him a hard time, but horseplay, bust chops, when they do it to him, he goes running to the office, talking to the boss, saying that we're harassing him, and the boss says that he has issues and that we should just be nice to him all the time. So the boss isn't helping the matter any either.
I don't know exactly what his, in quotes, issues are. I want to make it easier for you, though. Is this a job that you love?
Yes.
What do you do?
I'm a mechanic. I've been there for 25 years.
So you have a vested interest, and the boss likes you, appreciates
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
And is this a new kid on the block? Is this someone new that they...
No, actually, I transferred from another facility, so he's been at this facility longer than I have.
It's amazing how one person can make a big difference in the job.
We had a new guy that transferred from the facility that I was at.
Mm-hmm.
This guy came with nothing but rave reviews, and within a month, this guy is nothing but troubled. He tried to get us both fired on his word, and I mean, the boss believes him and doesn't believe us.
Now, what did he accuse you of doing?
Harassing him.
In what way?
Staring at him all the time, telling people to bust his chops, where he can, you know, go around and do horseplay with all of us, but when we do the horseplay with him, it's offensive to him. It's harassment.
What I'm hearing you need to do is speak with the boss about this, and it sounds like you need to do this as a group. Sometimes you have more success with a few people who are suffering under his rule, this one guy. What's his first name? You can give a fake name.
The guy that is doing it?
Yeah.
Tony.
If you went to the boss and said, listen, I know that this has been a problem since we've come here, and we want to work with you. We want to figure out a way how to make peace here. It's not
that.
And what did the boss, well, you told me that you went to the boss the first time and you said he has issues, right?
We've been to the boss many times. He's trying to tell us that we're the problem.
Why does he think you're the problem?
I'll give you a perfect example. One day the boss was questioning me on stuff, saying that I had, you know, that I should grow up. So I aired my differences to my boss. And then that afternoon he brought Tony in, and Tony told him what his problems were. And what did he do? What did the boss do? The boss took out a pen and a paper and wrote down what Tony's issues were. And the next day he had a service talk to all the employees about his issues.
About Tony's issues?
Yes. So what we say...
And what were Tony's issues?
Oh, that we should be more courteous to him. We shouldn't talk to him the way we talk to him. We shouldn't horse around with each other. We should just do our jobs and a bunch of little issues like that.
I don't know why the boss is so invested in Tony, whether Tony's a good worker, whether Tony's a family member or a relative.
No, he's not. But he's not a good worker as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I can work circles around the guy. So can everybody else.
Can you find another job? Because you've got such a wonderful history, can you move to another location or to go back to your original location? Is there...
If I went to any other location, I'd be back on night.
Yeah.
I was on nights for 10 years, and that's the reason I went to this location was because I could be on days and have a family life again.
Yeah. Is that working out for you?
As far as my home life, it is. It's just...
Putting up with Tony.
Just putting up with Tony, and it's aggravating. I come home, I'm stressed out. I've taken a couple of days stress leave just to get away from it. As a matter of fact, I took my wife on vacation last week to Cancun, and I was doing stuff at work, and then I was in another country. Because other guys were ignoring him, not talking to him, and it's all my fault. I had nothing to do with work last week. I was in another country.
Okay, but what happened at work?
Well, another guy's not talking to him, and it's my fault because I'm influencing him. This is the boss's words. I'm influencing these people to do this to Tony.
You know, I recently went to a conference where you can hire, not you, but the boss can hire an outside psychologist. There are people in this neck of the woods who do this professionally. Yep. They come in as mediators, and they work in a business to try to work with different factions to try to get them all on the same page and to try to troubleshoot.
We have that. I work for the government. I work for the post office. We have EAP, which is like psychologists. But the boss is afraid to call him in because he thinks Tony's going to go over the edge.
If that's the case, your boss is totally wrong. Because if you have any fear of that happening where he could lose it and be a harm to you, you've got to call in somebody in advance. You need to be preemptive. You need to be able to anticipate a problem in advance. And if you're a good manager or a boss, you need to get that help in advance. If you know that you cannot manage it, and if you're just telling everyone to turn the other cheek, then you will have exactly what you're talking about, the absenteeism, the stress leaves, the tension, the continued conflict, the factioning of different groups, and that's not healthy for anybody, including the boss.
Right. This is like last year in October, Tony had called, I don't know if the CEO or whatever, some person from Providence, from the main headquarters in Providence, to come down, and all he did was complain about me. All these accusations that he made against me, and half of them weren't even my doing.
Tony, you're probably not the first person. If Tony has worked there for a long time, you're probably not the first target, meaning the first person that he's had issues with.
Right.
And so he's probably made quite a record for himself if he's as on the edge as you're describing, and he has some history, some dossier. So I would recommend going to your boss and seeing if you can get human resources involved, seeing if you can get the psychologist in there to deal with this and take it seriously. I don't think this is something that you guys should sidestep. And I don't think continuing to tease him or say anything, I know that it must be very tempting to do that when you feel that frustrated.
It's not, because we ignore him and he gets upset because we ignore him. He gets upset when we talk, when we don't talk to him.
So it's a total no-win situation. It can be very provocative to ignore a person. I once had a babysitter who ignored me, who refused to speak with me for an entire day. That was more painful than babysitters yelling at me. So feeling invisible is something that you don't want to use against somebody who could be a danger to you. But you need to address it at not just your boss's level. If your boss is unwilling to do anything, you need to go over his head. But I would try to go through his head, meaning saying that this is too much. If you have three or four guys who work as mechanics or who work in the post office, have them all go over to the boss with examples of exactly what happens and use a contrast. Compare it to what didn't happen at the other post office that you worked at.
Yes.
And say that we got along well here. This person is a problem, and I don't think enabling him, keeping him in here, is doing anyone any good, including himself. He needs professional help, and it is way too disruptive on the job for all of us. And I think that we can't just turn the other cheek here. We need to address this head on. Listen, Mike, I hope that helps you. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For more Dr. Kenner podcast, go to drkenner.com and please listen to this ad.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Dr. Ellen Kenner.
A big romance destroyer is emotional repression, which is a psychological defense mechanism that prevents painful emotions from entering into conscious awareness through a standing order to your subconscious, don't feel. This works in the narrow sense in that it's possible to not let yourself feel emotions. The result, however, is a deadening of your emotional vibrancy. The mechanism of repression is a Trojan horse. It seems to benefit you, but in the end it works against you. Why? Because the standing order, don't feel, cannot discriminate between positive and negative emotions. It can only block emotional responsiveness as such. Thus, a repressed person becomes an emotional cripple who cannot fully experience feelings and therefore does not show much emotion at all.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.